You have a really interesting journey into voice acting. I mean, you were a DJ in college. I mean, I've seen a lot of your short films. You're an excellent actor. You're very funny. So, like, what made the transition to voice acting work for you, and how'd you get involved in it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I started even in high school doing some voiceover stuff and radio stuff. And then in college, I went to Emerson College in Boston. They have an amazing college radio station. And I got involved over there. Basically started a show called Revolutions, which was an electronic music show. It went from once a week to 5 times a week. And it was so much fun. And so people, other DJs on the show would ask me to do promos for their shows. And I just kind of got it started with radio imaging, like WERS 88.9 FM, you know, and that sort of radio read, which is very sort of specific to radio. But then I was also doing a lot of on-camera acting with the film students. And my school also has a pretty large film department. And then there was a local casting agency called CP Casting. So I went over there, I started taking some classes, and they called me in for the first audition that I ever booked. I think I was maybe 19 or something.
Wow.
And it was for Prentice Hall. It was for their e-learning textbooks.
Wow. So also too, during college, I mean, you worked with some pretty influential people like Morgan Page. I mean, how did that have an influence on your career moving forward?
Well, Morgan transferred in from Vermont and UVM, I believe. He was a student there. And he was also, you know, electronic music producer and huge fan. And so we worked together to get Revolution set up. And he was also my boyfriend at the time's roommate. So, yeah, I mean, everybody at Emerson, there's just so many talented people. And it was a really exciting time to be in school too, because things were just changing on a global level with technology. And I felt like I was really exposed to a lot of things that I hadn't been exposed to before. When I was going to school, you know, I thought computers were like, well, I don't really want to use that computer. It's like nerdy. No, like I'm not. Now I'm like never off my computer. It was just a different time. So it was cool to finally just be thrown in with all these kids that were experimenting with new technologies and really exposed to cool new music and the way culture was being influenced. And I actually changed my major. I was originally going to be, well, I was a broadcast journalist major. Then I was thinking maybe I'd be audio. I didn't want to just graduate with an acting degree because I felt like I was getting so much exposure to acting through the film department. And I wanted to stay in, I just kind of wanted to stay in the world of producing as well. So I ended up becoming a new media major, which was at the time a great way to bring a bunch of different multimedia production together and get my hands in a lot of different pots. So it was fun.
Do you feel like that kind of like worked in your favor? Because considering the fact that, I mean, you've done so many different things in media that you were kind of able to have your cake and eat it too, so to speak.
Totally. And I think that's a good point. I mean, first and foremost, I'm an actor, but I've written for animation. I wrote an episode of Poppycat, and I'm working with a writing partner. Her name's Dana Middleton, and we're working on some scripts now as well. I don't know that I would be able to get as much work out there in terms of, I have a YouTube channel where I wrote and produced a handful of comedy sketches, and I also write songs and perform them. And so I've just kind of always been a creative person that can't really be put in a box. And I feel like just because of technology, we're really able to do so much more than we used to. You used to have to be so specialized, but now anyone that has a YouTube channel is also often editing, writing, acting, doing voiceover. It's kind of all coming together. So we all get to explore the vast world of creativity under this giant umbrella.
So, what's your favorite part of being a voice actor?
My favorite part is working. you know, just going to a session, especially where you're working with your colleagues. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, when we record Yo-Kai Watch, for example, is an ADR show. So we, are brought in separately and we record our audio individually. Mm-hmm. But a show like Space Racers that I work on, I work with, Yuri Lowenthal and Meyer DeLue, and they bring us all in together. So we get to act off and play off each other. Which in theater, of course, you're always acting off other people. But in voiceover, to save time and save money, they often bring people in separately. So you're recording your lines individually. And it's cool. That's still super fun because, you know, the director, the producers, they're all usually in the room, the engineer. And so you still can get that gratification of making somebody laugh or, you know, having a take where you feel connected to the audience. But voiceover is really different from theater or something, a medium where, like, say you're performing a live show musically, mm-hmm. where you're getting that instant feedback from the person who's ultimately consuming it. So there's a little bit of a lag, but so that's why it's great to be able to record at least with other people in the room and get some feedback on how your choices, your acting choices are playing to the audience.
So you've been on several shows, you know, over the past 10 years, but how did you get the roles that you got on Yo-Kai Watch? How did that all happen?
Well, I was cast in Yo-Kai Watch, through an audition I did for Mark Risley. Mm-hmm. And, I'd worked with Mark on a couple different shows, a show called Mr. Men for mm-hmm. Cartoon Network, and sure. He also directs Space Racers. Mm-hmm. And Mark and I had known each other for a lot of years, and Mark sort of knows me as, "Hi, I'm Little Miss Sunshine," you know? And funnily enough, I ended up playing Jibanyan on the show, and Jibanyan is a completely different character.
Yes.
For anyone that's maybe listening that doesn't know, he's a boy, he's a cat, but he's not really a cat, he's a yokai. So he's like an inspirited cat, and he's like, "I am a cat and I like it like that." I just didn't even, you know, I hadn't played that many boy characters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I think of myself as a girly girl. So it was really cool, Mark being like, "I think you could really nail this role," and then being like, "Okay, let's try." And just kind of mashing together, like, I picture like what my dad would be like as a kid, and like just like mashing up and kind of creating this character. And it was super fun, and I feel really truly grateful for the opportunity because he's just such a cool character.
It's so funny because, like, as I'm listening to you, like, I hear the other character you play a little bit more, like, I think that's a little bit closer more to your regular voice, like Komajiro. Like, I feel
oh,
like,
Komajiro.
Yeah, I feel like that's, like, a lot closer to your
oh, my swirls!
So, like, is it...
You think this is closer to my real voice?
Well, then Jibanyan.
Well, yeah, and I'm actually Nate's mom, which is just really this voice, but maybe just a little bit more, you know, a little more warm, less casual sort of thing.
Is it? Do you ever like have yourself in a spot where you're managing like all three of those, like two or three of those voices at the same time? That is it difficult?
Oh, we do that all the time. you know, you get used to it. I think for me, establishing a catchphrase, whatever that catchphrase is, that'll help you anchor the character. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm gonna make up like a character, which is not a real character, but like, "Hey guys, I'm Patrick. What's going on? I'm Patrick Hickey." No, that's not my impression of you. Just like if there was a character and his name was Patrick.
Okay.
And so like that, if that was like my anchor would be like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" So then if I was doing a bunch of different characters and going back and forth, because that's one of the most challenging parts is being able to sustain that character over a long period of time.
Sure.
So having that anchor, hey guys, what's going on? Where I can go back, where I'm like, if I start to drift vocally. Mm-hmm. And that's why we also have a director there to be like, you know what? Your co-material sound a little divine. And I'll be like, okay. Oh, my swirls. Oh, brother. You know?
Oh, that's great. Tough question here. Like, the first season was a lot. There's a lot of episodes. I think like 76 episodes in the first season. You're a mom. Like, how do you manage like all of that work and being, you know, a mom at the same time?
Well, the first season I was not a mom. When we recorded the first season, mm-hmm. I was just Soups pregnant, and that was fun. Not. But now I have an 8-month-old. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think I underestimated how much work it was going to be initially. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think, you know, I figured our sessions are anywhere for Yoke, I watch their 4-hour sessions. But I also do promos for the Ovation Network and mm-hmm. commercials and narration for a show called She Made Me Do It. So all these different things, they have different length of sessions and sure. hours, pretty standard, and 4 hours seems to be pretty standard. Mm-hmm. And, I gotta say, Patrick, I underestimated how much work it was to have a baby. So I kind of was overcommitted in the beginning, and it was tough. And I think that being conscious of protecting mothers and being aware of also keeping women that do want to work working is both important, and they kind of stand in contrast. And there's a book called Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she brings up a lot of good points about being a working mom and just getting the support that you need to be able to do it. In some ways, you know, we can do it all, but in other ways, we really can't. You can't do it all without an amazing, you know, if my husband wasn't so supportive and just we're a team with that. And we have childcare, we have an amazing nanny. And if it wasn't for her, if I didn't feel comfortable leaving my baby with somebody, then I just couldn't make it happen. And lots of amazing women choose to be full-time moms, and that's great. But I love my job, and I feel very grateful that it's now, at 8 months, starting to work a little bit better. But in the beginning, it was too much. And somehow I muscled my way through, but mm-hmm. it wasn't graceful or heroic. And if there are any soon-to-be moms, I would say, you know, at least try and give yourself 3 months, if you can, to just rest and take it all in and absorb the amazing rite of passage that you have just taken.
So the second season of Yo-Kai Watch began last month. So if someone hasn't jumped in yet to start watching, without giving anything away, what do you think makes season 2 special compared to season 1?
Oh my gosh. When I first saw Yo-Kai, it was just like going down a crazy rabbit hole of insanity. I mean, the characters are so hilarious. And to see this show originally produced in Japan and then localized for the United States and see how universal it is. And the Japanese writers use a lot of American pop culture references, mm-hmm. which just make the show hilarious. The show is so funny. And the characters are just all so bold and ridiculous. And, you know, Cheek Squeak, he's a giant butt face and yeah. farts out of his face. You know, you describe that and you're like, weird. And then you watch it and you're just like, there's something really lovable about this guy. Which actually, I play him as well, by the way.
Oh, wow.
So, typecast again. I don't think we did much writing. Yeah. So, I would say just jump right in with episode 1, season 2, and enjoy the ride.
Okay, last question from me. You're a veteran now of the voiceover industry, you know, nominated for awards, you've been around for a while. What advice would you give to someone that maybe is comfortable doing a voice or two or has like some talent in this field but doesn't know how to get started? Because there's so many people out there that would love to do what you do.
Yeah, you know, I think finding a coach or a mentor is great. But even like there's a lot of free resources online too. Dee Bradley Baker has a website with tons of free resources on how to do voiceovers, how to get started. And he's very generous to offer so much free information. Definitely check out his website. Pat Fraley is another coach who I've worked with, and he's amazing. He's got some CDs on how to develop new and interesting characters. And if you can take a class in person, even better, because then you can get on the mic, get feedback, and start honing those characters. There's so many different ways and places you can place your voice, you know, so you can play around with doing it more nasal, more denasal. But the voice really is just one of the tools to get the character and develop the character. And then the acting is the other key part. So acting, improv, these are all skills that you need if you want to do animation voiceover. And even if you want to do commercial voiceover, which is in a different approach. But it's all still acting. You're just acting with your voice. So you don't have to worry about what you wear. Although, you know, like, look presentable, I would say, unless you're home right now. It's like, you have no idea what I'm wearing right now. But, you know, there's a lot of good free resources and, you know, just do it every day. In the book Blink, they talk about 10,000 hours. And that's so true. Anything you do every day, full time for 10 years, you're going to be an expert at. So if there's something that you love, just keep doing it. And it's okay if it doesn't become your full time profession. Like, I have passionate hobbies like writing music, but I wouldn't say it's my profession per se. Mm-hmm. Because of voiceover, I've gotten to sing on TV shows and sing theme songs and stuff. But it's also cool to have a hobby that's just something that you love doing. Because at the end of the day, it's like you have to love doing the work. And in voiceover, that means auditioning. So you have to find a way to love auditions. And yeah, I mean, it definitely helps if you're in a market like Los Angeles, but also Canada. But there's also opportunities happening all the time with different programs that are produced for the web or websites like voices.com and Voice123, where you can work remotely and create profiles and audition for jobs there. So